Right. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It's good to be here today and to continue our study in the Holy Spirit. And so last week we had opportunity to look at the filling of the Spirit. And I appreciate the testimonies that were shared today. That is a sweet part of this service. And when you have opportunity to stand up in the congregation and share what God is doing in your life, that goes a million miles. That is a wonderful ministry that you can perform in the church. And we see reference to that in Scripture over and over again. So take the opportunity to do that. It does minister to the hearts of all of the members. So I'm going to ask you to turn Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 26. I really appreciate the scripture reading that was done today from Romans chapter 8, both last week and this week. It seems as though they go hand in hand with the themes that we're kind of dealing with here, because the Apostle Paul is writing that. So you see a lot of the similar patterns. So last week we looked at the filling of the Holy Spirit. Today we're going to be looking at our walk in the Holy Spirit. So Galatians 5, 16 through 26. And I'm going to read these verses and then pray and we'll seat you. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. This I say then, verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Well, it wasn't that long ago. I worked at a place called Harriet Carter. And actually, Kim and I were sort of, when she would have problems, she would call me and we could at least talk. I couldn't help her much, but we had a good time together that way. And so she remembers those days. Well, I had a long trip. And I had to go down the cow path through Comer, or Colmar, however you want to pronounce it. And there was a railroad track there. And I would always wish that I wasn't going to come. And as I approached, the train would come. And I'd have to sit there and wait forever for the thing to come. And I'd be late for work. But it was an interesting thing, and it got my mind thinking about trains. And trains are fascinating things. They are big, and they are powerful, and they are amazing pieces of equipment. They really are. They're very, very complex. But They must have electricity if they're going to function. Without electricity, they will go nowhere. The trains, receive their power from an electric line from above. And there must be some point of contact between that electric line and the train. Without that contact, the train does not move. Electricity produces function within the train, within the engine, and the line runs in the path of the track. There's a certain track that's laid. The line goes in a certain way. It doesn't go off track. And real important to see. Likewise, for us as Christians, there's an application here. And that is we need to be connected to our spiritual electric line, which is the Holy Spirit, if we are to function and to move in this world in the right direction, in the direction that God wants for us. We need to be a people that get our power from the Holy Spirit, and that power and that grace, that energy, that vitality will move us where God wants us to go. When we look here at the book of Galatians, we see Paul deals with the problem of the Judaizers and of heresy. There was always problems. We looked at the church today. There's problems in the churches, and there's always some new heresy rising, and there's some new view, and it causes arguments and deviation from the Word of God. It's as old as the beginning of the New Testament. It works like that. And there were problems in Paul's day and with these Judaizers, people who claimed to be Christian, but they wanted to keep bringing the converts under the law of Moses, which nobody could keep. It was impossible. You know, all the human effort you could try to muster up wasn't good enough to keep the law. And yet they kept wanting to do that. And there were other heresies that came into it. There was legalism, obeying rules in fleshly strength. That is not the way of Christianity. Versus license, which is away rules in fleshly satisfaction. In other words, we don't follow the rules. Sometimes today there are many Christians who actually feel squeamish about even talking about the Ten Commandments. And it's kind of like they just want to throw that all away. And it's kind of like just do what you want to do. Well, that is not what the Bible teaches. Both are wrong. There is a third way, and it's the biblical way. The way of the new covenant, the way of Jesus Christ, the way described by the Apostle Paul, and that is grace. We are to live by grace in the Holy Spirit for godly living in love. As we look at the previous text to the passage we're really going to focus in on there, we see some things. Focus, if you would, on verse 13. It says, "For brethren, you have been called into liberty, only use not liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." Yeah, we have liberty in Jesus Christ, spiritual liberty. The Holy Spirit is one who gives us spiritual liberty. Praise God Almighty for that. But that liberty does not mean casting all restraint away and just doing whatever you want to do. Paul makes that very, very clear here. Instead, what we are to do is we're to serve one another, not under oppression. We're to serve one another by love. Love that is produced by the Holy Spirit of God. He goes on in verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And when you go back to the Old Testament and you see the law, the Ten Commandments, when you see all of the other rules and regulations that go along with the law of Moses, you see all of that, which can just become overburdensome, you can really kind of boil it down into one principle. And that is love your neighbor as yourself. It's like the whole law is kind of caught up with that. And that's the idea. That's what our focus needs to be on. And then he goes on and he explains here the option. You know, the other way, the way that so many people live. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. And that's what we see in the world. We see it in business. We see it in politics. We see it in any competitive field that we have. We see it among people. There's always people who are trying to rise up, who want to be the top dog, who want to have their way and forget the other way, and they're willing to rip and tear at the other guy, and the one guy rips and tears, and then the other guy rips and tears back, and you have a big bloody mess. And that is so often the way it can happen and the way things can go, even in churches among Christians. And apparently it was happening among the Galatians. And it is not what is the will of God. The Lord wants us instead to live in the Spirit. We get to verse 16 and we see there, "This I say then, because of all that I've been talking about before, this is what I say. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." A command that is given to us. And then there's a lot of verses, and we go down to verse 25. It says, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." This whole passage that we'll be looking at is dealing with the importance of walking in the Spirit. God wants us to walk in the Spirit. We need to do that. My plan is to look at this passage of Scripture and kind of answer three questions. What does this walking in the Spirit mean? Why should we do this? And how can we do this? So let's consider the question, first of all, what? What do we mean by walking in the Spirit? "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Literally, "I say then," in, by, or in reference to the Spirit, walk ye. All of you, walk in that way. There's an apostolic authority here. "This I say," Paul is speaking. He's speaking under inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, but it is an apostle of God who is speaking. It has authority. And the command is given. It's an imperative, a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not just an encouragement. This is not a request, please, please. It's not. This is a command. This is what Christians are supposed to do. Walk ye. I like ye. It's very specific. It's not limited to one. It's all of you. You all walk. This is for all Christians. Some people think Christianity is, you got different tiers of quality Christians. You got the real spiritual ones, and you got the ones who your expectations are kind of low and just leave them low there. And, you know, they really don't walk in the Spirit. They're kind of carnal, and that's kind of sort of okay. And no, it's not. It's not what God wants. He wants all Christians, all of you, to walk in the Spirit. The word in the Greek, peripateo, literally means walk around. Walk around. That's really, this has to do with our function in life, how we are to function in life. Wherever we may go in life, we are to walk around, and it is something that is commanded that we need to be doing continuously. It's something that should be our habit, not just on certain mornings when you wake up and, oh, I feel so good right now. I'm filled with the Spirit, and I'm going to walk in the Spirit right now. And then something bad happens, or you get upset or whatever, and it sort of withers away, and then you wait for the next time when it comes upon you. No. We are to be continually walking around in the Spirit. How do we do this? In what manner? In what sense do we do this? It says in the Spirit in the King James. I think in other translations it says by the Spirit. There's not really a great deal of difference between the two. It can be translated either way, in, by, or in reference to. Walk around in reference to the same kind of different ways of looking at it. The whole idea is we got to walk around spiritually, in Holy Spirit, by Holy Spirit. And you heard me, if you were in the Sunday school lesson, I was throwing out a bunch of P's, alliteration. Well, I've got some more P's for you when we talk about walking around or walking around in or by the Spirit. In what sense? Walk around in His person. He is within you. Let His reality, His person, be a reality. We talk about walking with God. Well, we need to be walking with the Holy Spirit in our life, in His person. We need to be walking in His property, in His realm, in the spiritual realm here, wherever we are. Things that have to do with God, we need to be walking in reference to God, in His practice, the way He wants us to live. We need to be walking in the Spirit, in His practice. It's like the track on the train. The tracks run in the way that the railroad wants the train to go. And so God has a way in which He wants us to go. He's revealed it in His law. He's revealed it in Holy Scripture. He's revealed us through His Spirit, and they all work together. It is the principle of loving your neighbor as yourself, as we read earlier here. That is the practice of the Lord, and it is also the practice of the Holy Spirit of God. But particularly significant is this next P. We need to walk in the power of the Spirit. And I believe that we see that here again in verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. By walking in the Spirit, there is a power that will prevent us from going in the wrong direction. God gives us that. And what a blessing to know that in ourselves we are so weak, and yet in the Holy Spirit, He gives us power. He gives us power in boldness to preach. He gives us power and strength to live and overcome those sinful tendencies that we have. The Holy Spirit gives us power, and we need to walk in that power. We need to walk around in the pointing or the pulling of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about His leading. We see reference to that in verse 18. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. The leading of the Holy Spirit. He points us in the right direction. Allow Him in your life. Allow Him to point you in the right direction. Even allow Him to pull you. He does that. Yes, He leads and He helps us along. I like it when sometimes, you know, somebody helps by actually taking our hand and pulling us in the right way. That happened down in Ocean City this week here. I was about ready to walk out in the street, and there was a car coming, and my wife grabbed my arm and pulled me, and I stepped out of the way, and the car avoided hitting me. Praise God. So, you know, sometimes the leading is not just following, it is also the Holy Spirit pulling us, and He does that. In the production, of the Holy Spirit. Walk in his production, his fruit bearing. He wants to produce in our lives are like a garden that he is growing for his glory and honor. And the Holy Spirit is seeking to produce fruit in our lives, which we read of in this text of Scripture. So walk in his production, in what he is trying to produce in our lives. Let that come out in our walk. Walk in his presence. And by that I'm talking about attention, his attention. Be conscious of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So often the reason why we walk in the Spirit is because we're not even conscious of him. We're thinking about other things. Maybe we're thinking about that thing that our flesh so much wants that we're just ignoring the Holy Spirit altogether. If we can keep our attention on the presence of the Holy Spirit and wanting to be close to the Holy Spirit in our life and in our walk, that will help us enormously to really live for God in this world. And then also to walk in the passion of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about his desires. Now, we have desires. We have fleshly desires, desiring the wrong thing. But the Holy Spirit has desires for us. He has things he wants us to do. And he really does. And things that he feels strong about. He has passion about. He can become grieved if we do not walk in the right way. And he is much like a fire that burns. And we actually have the ability to quench the Holy Spirit. We're commanded not to quench the Holy Spirit. Allow his passion to be vibrant in our life. Live according to, walk in your practice, in the passion of the Holy Spirit, in his feelings, as opposed to the flesh. Walk in the pattern of the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about his qualities. You want to, we want to follow God as dear children, the Bible says. We want to follow the example of Jesus Christ. Well, we also need to be walking in the moral characteristics of the Holy Spirit. As we read in the fruit of the Spirit, these are qualities that are present in the Holy Spirit himself, and he wants to work those things out in our life. Walking in the purpose of the Holy Spirit. What are his objectives for us in life? What does he want us to do? What does he want to bring us to? Walk in those things and walk in the perfection of the Holy Spirit. And by that I mean his work in progress to completion. He has a goal. He's moving us in a direction, a path, get us to his goal, his perfect goal. And as we walk in the Spirit, we don't do everything completely perfect, but we should be doing it more and more as we walk in the Spirit and he guides us along through life. In fact, it says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3, are you so foolish having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, the answer is no. And yes, we start our spiritual life in the Spirit. When we call on the name of Jesus Christ to save our souls, we come to faith in him, the Holy Spirit enters us and regenerates us. We become children of God, and the Holy Spirit is indwelling us permanently. But then the process of sanctification begins as he fills us and as we seek to implement him in our lives and in our practice. It is a growing process, and that whole growing, perfecting process is also to be done in the working of the Holy Spirit. It's not started in the Spirit, completed by the law. It started in the Spirit, and it is completed in the Spirit. It is a whole life pattern, a whole life history. Why? Why should we walk in the Spirit? We should walk in the Spirit as we look at verses 16 through 18. We should walk in the Spirit in order to have a life of Spirit-led victory over the flesh. Now, we see that in verse 16 again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the way the Spirit desires and leads you to live, you won't walk in the way the flesh desires and wants to lead you to live. You won't walk that way. You have to make the Spirit's way or the flesh's way. And if you make the choice to follow the Spirit's way, guess what? You won't be following the flesh way. That's the best way to avoid following the flesh and the lead of the flesh and fulfilling the desires of the flesh. You need to focus on the Spirit and obey Him and follow His leading in your life. It says in verse 17, this is an interesting passage of Scripture, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. Now, that's a reality. This is one of those war passages. It's going on inside of us here. The flesh lusts, it desires against, contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit lusts or desires against the flesh. They're contradictory. They oppose each other. The goal is, you cannot do the things that you would. You're being pulled in both directions. You know what? The way we want to be as Christians is like we want to be completely holy, and every emotion and every feeling and every passion and every practice is good and perfect, exactly what God wants, but it ain't that way. There's this conflict going on inside of us. And sometimes there are things and desires that arise in our heart. Where did that come from? It came from your dirty, rotten flesh, which all of us have. That's where it came from. And don't expect yourself, you know, don't be like, you know, sometimes you know, where did this idea come from? Where did this feeling come from? I mean, that shouldn't be there. Boy, I must be a terrible person. Yeah, in yourself, you are. We all are. We're terrible people. Apart from Christ, apart from the Holy Spirit of God, we are dirty, rotten sinners. But with Christ, in Christ, with the Holy Spirit and walking in the Spirit, we can have victory over this in a wonderful way. A victory that is not because of our strength, but because of the power of Christ, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. There's a resolution. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Walking in the Spirit by being led by the Spirit. If you're led, you will walk in the Spirit. Not under the law system. Not under sinful flesh trying to keep the law. That's the problem with it. If you think you can do it in your own strength, you can't. You cannot. That's the law system. You got to understand that. Instead, it's not sinful, weak flesh trying to keep the law. It's following, being led by the powerful Spirit that gives victory over fleshly lusts. There's a second reason why we should walk in the Spirit, and that's found in verses 19 through 23. We should walk in the Spirit in order to bring forth a quality life of Spirit-produced character that is totally contrary to the flesh. I mean, if you want that, if you really want to have a life that is Spirit-produced character, then you need to be walking in the Spirit. It's interesting, as we look at verses 19 through 21, we see a listing of the works of the flesh. I'm not going to read that again. We've already done that. Let me just make some observations about it. The works of the flesh are efforts, actions, attitudes, and doings that come directly from our sinful nature. They're flesh produced. And any of these can arise from within us, the cesspool that is within our old sinful flesh. These are negative characteristics. They're ungodly. They're hurtful. They're selfish. They're destructive. They're shameful. They're prideful. They're violators of the law, and they are contrary to the Holy Spirit of God. And they are manifest. It says here, now the works of the flesh are manifest. They're seen. They're obvious. How? In Scripture. The Scripture talks about them. In our experience, we experience them from within and all around us. In observation, we see them in the lives of other people. In our conscience tells us that these things are wrong. And in judgment, we can make judgments and we can realize that these things, these practices are wrong. And the list is given, 17 sinful practices and passions, and there's more. It says, and such like, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. And we can go in and look at all of these things that the Scripture talks about, that they have to do with attitudes, they have to do with emotions, they have to do with passions, they have to do with practices, all of these things. Adultery and fornication and uncleanness all have to do with sexual filth and deviation. And there's so much of that. And in this world today, it seems as though lasciviousness is everywhere. I mean, all restraint off of sexual activities whatsoever. That is not the way of God. Idolatry and witchcraft, hatred and variance, emulations, that's being hot with anger and envy, wrath, strife, that's provoking anger and contention, seditions, causing divisions and for wrong reasons, heresies, envies, murders, that can be, when we were down there in Ocean City, we had a situation there where I accidentally tapped the window of, when I opened my car door, of a guy next to me. And afterwards, like, this guy was really upset. And it was a situation that could have escalated into a dangerous situation. I know that there was murder in the heart. And it just reminded us of how quickly people can spin off into destructiveness and hatred and anger that is unreasonable. And it was going on. It was happening. And it's happening in the world around us. Drunkenness, revelings, all of these things. They're common characteristics of unregenerate fleshly people. And there's a sober declaration that's given. And that is that unconverted, unregenerate practitioners of these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's not talking about a Christian losing his salvation, or if he commits so many sins, you know, maybe of a certain type here, that he's going to lose his place in heaven. It's not talking about that. It's saying this is what unregenerate, fleshly people who do not have Christ, who do not have the Spirit, this is what they do naturally. But for us, it's different. We have Christ. We have the Holy Spirit inside of us, who is against those things and fighting against those things. And there is a difference. For us, we should want to be a million miles away from those characteristics that are no longer who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Instead, we need to follow the fruit of the Spirit, that which is produced by the Holy Spirit within us and brought out in the lives of Christians. These are things. So, we have a garden. We planted some plants. The plants are coming along. Our tomato plants are not as good as the ones last year. They're not as tall. There's not quite as much fruit on them, but there is fruit growing. It's happening. We weed it. We water the garden, but we don't make it grow. We don't have the power to do that. No, it's God has a system of growth that He's created, and He's the one that makes it happen. And you know what? We just cultivate things. We help it along. We do a few things. We water it. We make sure that it has some sun there. Get rid of the weeds. We do that stuff. Maybe we put a little plant food on it. Yeah, all that can help. But really, it's God who produces it. Our job is to get out of the way. Yeah, cultivate. But let it happen. And so that is the case for us as Christians. We need to let these qualities of the fruit of the Spirit develop and be produced in our lives by the Holy Spirit who's within us, who is doing the work. We need to let these things come out in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against these things, there's no law. I mean, no law, no divine law read in the Old Testament scripture is contrary to any of these things. These things are totally consistent with the law of Moses because the Holy Spirit is involved doing it. He is the Holy Spirit producing holy qualities in our life. And we need to have these qualities developed and come forth in our life. It's so important. It's important for us to walk out these spiritual qualities that the Holy Spirit is growing forth in our lives. Walk it out. Work out our salvation with fear and trembling, it says. You know, there's an aspect of working out the salvation that God's put within us. I'm not saying work out. I'm saying walk out these spiritual fruits. He's growing. Allow these things to come out and put those things into practice in your life. Meekness, which God is trying to develop in your life, allow yourself to practice meekness. When you sense the flesh wanting to be I want to be better than anybody else. And you know what? I want to be the best. I want to be the top one. I want everybody looking at me and praising me and giving me the credit. That's what I want, rather than meekness. And we need to turn away from that pride, that desire. And we need to put ourselves and bring ourselves down and seek to serve others in love. You see, we need to walk out these qualities in our life. It is very important for us to do that. And finally, we should walk in the Spirit because we already live in the Spirit, having crucified the flesh with its lust. That's what we read of in verses 24 and 25. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, I know we need to practice self-crucifixion of these things in our life continually. I know that. But when you became a Christian, when you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were crucified with Christ. It happened. Your sins were nailed to the cross. Those lusts were nailed to the cross. All of that. I mean, there was a sense of spiritual death that happened. You died. I mean, amazing. Listen to what Paul says in Galatians earlier, a couple chapters early, Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. When Christ died and we came to faith in him, we died with Christ on the cross. It's a done deal. So they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the lusts thereof. We're now dead to those things. We are crucified. Our lusts, our affections, we render them dead. We're not going to follow them. It's like, in a sense, our flesh is like a spiritual zombie inside of us that has activity, but it's dead. And we've got to see that they're dead and stay away, ignore, turn away from the corpse of our flesh and its desires. You say, well, no, it's active. I know. But spiritually, you're dead to that. And you've got to recognize that. Stop living the life of a spiritual zombie. Don't do that. Turn away from that. And then it says in verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. In other words, if you have the Spirit of Christ in you, the Holy Spirit, you have the one who has regenerated you and given you the new birth. You have spiritual life within you. If you've got that, if you live, are alive in the Spirit, then you need to also walk in the Spirit. It's the right thing to do. Walk. He's given you life. You have life. You have opportunity for victory. You have opportunity for spiritual fullness and wonder and glory to God. You live in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Do that. How do you walk in the Spirit? Determine, decide to continually do it and keep doing it. You got to make a decision. There's an imperative here. There's a choice to be made. Walk in the Spirit. Decide to do it. Decide to make it a practice in your life. Accept the reality of the internal conflict going on between you or between the flesh and the Spirit within you. Accept the reality of the presence of these conflicting desires. Accept the reality of your own imperfections and weaknesses apart from the Spirit of God. Understand reality the way it really is. And then follow after the leading of the Spirit rather than fleshly desires. And allow His desires fulfilled in your life. Deny, denounce lusts, and don't allow fleshly passions and practices to become entrenched in your life. We see that in verses 19 through 21, and we see it in the very end of this chapter here, verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. We say, why did they stick that verse right after verse 25. Maybe he should have stopped it at the end of verse 25. Then he plugs this thing in. No. Now, this has to do with coming down to the reality of things. And Paul is saying here, don't allow the flesh to have its way. Don't be desirous. Don't allow this desire for vainglory to be entrenched in your life, to be stuck there. Look, you're going to get those desires within that are going to fire, but you don't allow them to have their way. You don't allow the practice of provoking one another. You provoke one person, they provoke you back, and then they back and forth, and there's war. Envying one another, you want something somebody else has, they want something that you have, and it goes on and on. Don't allow these things to become entrenched in your life. And allow, anticipate, cultivate, walk out the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and render yourself dead to the flesh and its passions and desires. And if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, look, your first concern is not to walk in the Spirit. It's to live in the Spirit. Become alive. Accept, receive, trust Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for your sins. Trust Him to save your soul, to forgive you of sin, and to give you the lasting life. You do that, and you'll receive not only forgiveness, you will receive the Holy Spirit of God, and you will have life in the Spirit. Then you can walk out. Walk out the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and walk in the Holy Spirit of God Almighty. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Make that decision. Stick with it. God will bless you for it, for His glory and honor.